Lord, we just thank you so much. We just thank you for everything, Lord. We thank you in the bad time. We thank you in the good time. We thank you when we don't want to thank you. And we thank you when we do want to thank you, Lord. Because that's what your word says to do. It says to give thanks always to all things. And Lord, we just thank you. We rejoice and we have joy in our heart because we know that you're with us. You're walking with us. You're guiding us and you're directing us, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we're coming in some exciting times ahead of us, Lord. And I am looking so forward to the revival that's going to start. And looking forward to the anointing of the man child. Looking forward to going into the wilderness, Lord, because I know it's going to be an awesome time. Because there's going to be some things done there supernaturally that we never even thought possible. Lord, I just thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for everything. I know that these trials that we're going through now are for our benefit, Lord, because you said all things work together for the good to those who love you, Lord. All things, don't leave nothing out. And everything that comes around us is for a purpose. And we understand, Lord. It just sometimes our old flesh gets in the way. And we thank you, Lord, that every day we can put another foot on top of that old flesh and run it down, get it out of here, killing it. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that we are walking in exciting times now. I mean, the whole world has gone crazy, but I know that it's for a purpose. I know that you're going to bring out a lot of people out of these old apostate churches, Lord, because of the destruction that's fixing to happen. And a lot of people's lives are going to be saved because of the destruction. They're going to come out of those apostate churches and they're going to wonder, well, why didn't I read the Word of God and find out for myself instead of listening to that crazy preacher? And Lord, we thank you that their people's eyes, minds, eye, their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears are opening up to hear the true gospel. And Father, we thank you for all that's accomplished tonight. I just ask for your anointing upon each one of us tonight, Lord, that we'd have a great time talking about you, Lord, and getting in your word and understanding what your word says, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody need prayer? How about a testimony? Okay, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I can always use prayer. So I've been battling I've had problems lately for some reason with my toes, a couple of my toes on each foot getting numb. And I have been, and it's funny, I have been rebuking it. And casting it down, casting that whatever demon that's ministering that process. And so I would like a prayer for that, just a prayer of agreement. And I've been praying specifically for that for the last few days and thanking the Lord for his healing. And what else? There's a something that is, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but a tendency to grind my teeth. And for some reason, I feel like there is a connection with uncovering, like, there's a tension inside there for some reason that even creates a tension up around in my shoulders, a real tightness. And I feel myself every once in a while like tensing up all around my upper shoulders and my neck, and I have to forcefully make myself relax. I don't know what's causing that. I know it's, but I have this this feeling as though it is connected with holding in that which God has given me that he wants me to express. And there's a sense of like holding it in and just creating a tension or something there. Whether that's the truth or not, I don't know. I just throw it out for your consideration, and trust that through your prayers and the body coming together, everybody has input and insight about certain things or whatever, but I would like prayer specifically for that. And one other thing, it's interesting that I can tell that it is somewhat spiritual, or it's connected to that spiritual realm somehow, because I can get focusing on something else, like a task, or I'm on my job or something, and I start working on something, and the sensation, the feeling, the numbness that I was talking about completely goes away. It's like I don't even think about it, and then I can't. I notice that I can't feel it. So, I think it is something a spiritual connection there somehow. So anyway, I'm throwing that out for any kind of input. I'm open to anything, and most of all, your prayer and the Lord's healing.
Okay. All right. The two toes that are numb, you think all of that is connected, huh? And this other thing?
I think it's, I'll just say, yeah, I'll say what I think. I think it has something to do with tension, tightening of my back. And, you know, I was... Okay. Complaining a few weeks ago, asking for prayer for my back to straighten out, and I think it's all connected in some way to the same thing. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, in the name of Jesus, right now, Lord, we just thank you that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that Pat is a child of yours. He's not under the curse anymore. And in the name of Jesus, we command this tormenting spirit, the spirit of infirmity, off of him right now. Stress, you go too, in Jesus' name. Anxiety, you go, in the name of Jesus. And all associated demons go with it right now, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that he is completely healed of this. And we praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that Pat doesn't have to worry about this anymore. And he just thanks you, Lord, and praises you for this complete deliverance and healing in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Glory, hallelujah.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you. Just take up all of the residents of any area in my life that you need to fill. I just empty myself. I open myself up to you, Lord, and ask for your input, your correction, your openness, your grace in my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. All right. Anything else? Okay. George, how about you? I saw you.
Yeah, I've got an interesting group of people I got to feed tomorrow, about 115 for a LGBT+Q something conference. They're meeting on the college campus, and I got to feed them. So it's going to be, I'm going to anoint all the chairs with oil when I get there in the morning and fill the atmosphere with praise and turn it over to God, and I'm going to be available if he wants to demonstrate himself to them. Praise the Lord.
Well, amen. What an interesting job. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Lord, we just thank you that George is going to be led by your Holy Spirit. And there are some in that group, probably, Lord, that's going to need to hear the truth of the gospel. And I ask that you lead them right to it. and that the conversations would just open up to Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, one thing that I do would like to do is to pray your protection upon George and all the people that work with him in the name of Jesus, that none of those tormenting demons would jump on them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you for protecting George and his family and all the other chosen out there in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Yeah, Dave.
I'll ask for some wisdom.
Okay. I wonder when you was going to ask for that.
I've been needing that for so long.
Boy, you open that door and I step right on in.
I know.
Okay, we'll pray for that.
Hey, what I'm looking at is I've been working on my truck a couple days here now. Working on the front brakes. Simple. It shouldn't be no big deal. You had to put them on right. Got everything right. Been, you know, playing with different places to put this squeal bar it's in. It's a wear bar to up, bottom, inside, out. But every time I go down the road, and I put them on there because had a little trouble with it earlier, and I was having to put the brake on and start it and keep the gas on and let off the brake for a while until I got that resolved. It was running issue. And then it started vibrating a little bit when I was putting the brake on. I thought, okay, I'll put new pads on. I'll just get rid of that for a little bit. But I put the new pads on. Well, now I get about 5 or 6 pumps into the brakes after going down the road. Then all of a sudden it starts, you can hear when I get the brakes, I get that squeaking noise. Like there's a, something not like a, something's not right with the, how I put it together, which doesn't make sense because I know it's right. And then it'll get a grinding noise. And I think, what the heck, what's grinding? There's nothing grinding. It's everything's new except for the rotors. So I'm thinking, it just kind of confuses me. I'm not sure why it's doing that. So I'm trying to figure out where and what. So I'm just asking for some wisdom on that so I can see it. You know, I have a little mechanical ability, but, you know, sometimes I do get kind of fooled. So,
yeah, it sounds like you do. Okay. Let's pray it this way, Dave.
Yeah.
Lord, I thank you that your mechanical engineers up there in heaven come down and give Dave some assistance on his putting these, was it brake pads you're putting on?
Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah, just.
Yeah. Well, Lord, yeah. We just thank you that you're going to help him and make this a smooth mechanical fix for Dave in Jesus' name. Lord, just let it just come into his mind to see, hey, I got to do this. I got to do that. We'll do this. We'll have this thing fixed in 20 minutes. Amen. I believe it, Lord. I believe it. I believe that Dave is going to fix that when he goes back out. And works on it. It's not going to take him long at all. In Jesus' name, y'all Amen. Believe that?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
And this is not my first rodeo on this, so that's why I'm thinking. One here.
I know. I've been there too, Dave. I've been there too. It back in '48, but you know. No. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. All right. Anyone else? Dave, I've done that before. I go out there and say, this ain't going to take me but about 45 minutes. I'll have all those brakes on and I'll be just away from there. And 2.5 hours later, I'm still trying to figure out the first one, you know.
You know,
Once you get one, though, they all go together pretty good.
It's all together. I just don't know why it's making the noise it makes.
Oh, did you put the little grease thing in there on your?
Yeah, I greased it. Every time I take it apart, I grease it. I just.
Okay. I wouldn't worry. Does it stop?
Yeah, it stopped.
Don't worry about it.
The grinding noise.
Go for it.
I'm figuring, you know, worst that happens is I'll just ignore it, let it
there you go.
Grind up, and I'll replace what's bad.
Yeah, they just turn the radio up loud. That's all you need to do.
You know, I'll just pray in tongues louder.
Well, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to stop that noise in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm threatening it. I'm going to start praying in tongues. I am going to pray in tongues loud now.
Amen. There you go.
That's my warfare right there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Let's see. Anybody else? Missy, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Okay. A little anxiety. The Lord, in the name of Jesus right now. I come before you and ask you, Lord, to help Missy in every way she needs it, Lord. And I ask you, Father, that you take away all the headaches, the tension, the stress, the anxiety, all of that. I command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to put peace in her heart, that you're in control, and for her not to worry about a thing, and that she is in your complete control, and she doesn't have to worry about nothing. All she has to do is kick back, surrender her life, and this will all work out in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for doing that for my sister in Jesus' Amen. Name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the headaches are gone. Is she going to have a good night's sleep tonight like she hadn't had in a long time? With no dreams whatsoever. The only thing she's going to have is just a good, supernatural, refreshing sleep tonight. When she wakes up in the morning, she's going to be energized because the Holy Spirit's going to be there with her. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Glory,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I want to share something.
Go right ahead.
You know, this that you've been sharing with prison to praise and praise, power and praise. Well, I got those two books, and I read the first one, Prison to Praise, and I think the third chapter of the second one. And I also, there were five books that I got. I also got Absolute Surrender, and I got John G. Lake's blah, 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 whatever, that you've read from, that a bunch of them down there ordered. Anyway, and there was something that, I'm not quite sure what it was he said, Merlin Carruthers said in Prison to Praise, I believe it was that one. But he said something about surrender, I think, or absolute or something. I don't know if he didn't use both the words together. It was one or the other. I forget what it was, but something clicked. And the Lord showed me that when you can give thanks and praise the Lord in all things, that's surrendering. And he told me that when I get done reading this second book and I go to read Absolute Surrender, it's going to click. It's going to really click with me. And the Lord also gave me this verse the other day. I forget what it was saying, something about, I landed on the word shepherds. And it was saying about that he's going to give you shepherds. It was in the Old Testament somewhere. And I'm like thinking, okay, Lord, what do you mean by that? And you know what he brought to me? He said, these books I'm reading, the authors, it says, I'll give me shepherds for understanding or something or others. I forget what all it said, but understanding was, so he was telling me that through these books, the writers of these books, these are the shepherds that he's going to give me for understanding. Is that cool or what? I can't hear you.
I know. I was muted. I was giving some wonderful revelations to you, but I done forgot them. Yeah, that is so cool, Missy. It's really
Yeah, I'm blessed. And so it's like I don't want to rush through power and praise. Yep, but I'm looking forward to getting to Absolute Surrender, you know, because I know
Is that one by Merlin? Is that by Andrew Murray?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is an outstanding book. I like that one myself.
Oh, another book I got from him too was it's a book about prayer. Hold on, let me tell you what it is quick. Oh. It's a really thick one. I didn't even look how many pages it is. It's
From Ian Bounds?
No, it's Andrew Murray.
Oh, okay.
It's 600 something pages, but it's called Andrew Murray on Prayer.
Yep, I got it.
And I forget what it said about the description of it, but it really just caught the description of it. You have that one too, you said?
I believe I do, yeah.
So anyway.
In my extended library up here.
So I'm excited.
Amen. Amen. There comes Leon in for landing.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And the thing that the Lord showed me was, I'm trying to think here.
What's she looking at?
I'm looking up for the answer upstairs.
Okay. All right.
The Lord.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, if I think of it, I'll get back to you.
Okay, that'll be fun.
Okay, bless y'all.
We'll bless you too.
Thanks for praying for me. Yeah. And I do feel much better. The headache is just a twinge there, but it's all but gone. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for giving her that headache. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? Hi, Leah.
Hello.
Yeah, Megan, go ahead.
Yes, I'm praying for wisdom, understanding, and discernment.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, I just lift up Megan to you. And Father, I just ask that you give her wisdom and understanding into your word and discernment. And I praise you, Father, that you're going to fill her up with your wisdom, Lord. As she reads and studies the word of God, Lord, I ask that you open it up to her and let it be a revelation every time she reads it. And it makes her that much more hungry to get into the word some more and more, because she's learning so much from you, Lord, from the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're making a mighty woman of God out of Megan. And I thank you, Lord, that she is a light around all the people that she works with and stays with, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I ask that your angels set about around and about her, Lord, to protect her and to keep her and to teach her and to give her that wisdom when she needs it, and that discernment, to discern the things of the enemy around her, that she could pray and intercede for the people around her. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, Megan?
Amen.
Amen, sister.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Well, I got a praise report and a prayer request.
Okay.
I see Chris there, brother. Good seeing you there. I haven't seen you in a while. And well, I think I would say it's probably an answer for prayer, or an answer of his prayer about a month or two ago, because he prayed for me that from what I remember, well, I don't remember the exact prayer, but he said, you know, maybe the Lord send me somebody to, you know, I could fellowship with, I guess, on a closer level or something like that. You know, if that rings a bell. But yeah, I mean, I had another conversation last night with Willie. I'm not seeing him on here, but you know, me and him have a lot of similar struggles, and we've had, you know, as well, I guess you could say, a lot of similar struggles and past experiences and stuff. So the Lord has used him. The first time we talked about a week or two ago, you know, is really, really encouraging, you know, got a lot of insight on things. But this time, last night we talked, and it was some pretty big insight, you know, just a lot of my struggles, a lot of issues, you know, I guess you could say a huge barrier to any real growth lately in my life, you know, talking about we talked about the mind of the flesh, you know, just, I mean, what the mind of the flesh looks like, and, you know, really hit the nail on the head for, you know, how I've been thinking pretty much all, I mean, if not all of my Christian life, you know, I mean, like, since I've been, you know, saved, and just the thought process, the basic thought process of the mind and the flesh. And I mean, it was really, really, really eye opening. Cause you know, I mean, I remember listening to one of David's messages about perfection, you know, being perfected in Christ. And he talked about, you know, the parable of the sower, and you know, basically where, you know, once the seed comes, you know, the word of God, Christ puts that seed in us, you know, we either choose to accept it, you know, for what it says, or we let the mind of the flesh reason away that seed. You know, he talked about, hey, you know, if you let the flesh, that, you know, the mind of the flesh, you know, cause you to, you know, or I mean, you know, as it reasons, as it puts all those thoughts in your head, you know, as it causes you to doubt what the word says, you know, it just basically washes away that seed, makes it, you know, worthless. I mean, you know, and so it was saying, you know, not just that, but a lot of my thought process, you know, I think a big one that I know Will is sharing, and I'm sure some of you others can relate or have probably dealt with, it's, you know, just this idea of, you know, performing for God, you know, with the spirit of rejection. You always feel like you've got to do more, you know, and then God will accept you, and then God will answer your prayers, or then God will, you know, move in a major way. You know, and we discussed that, and I think I remember, you know, when he was talking about that, it just kind of was like, wow, yeah, that's exactly, you know, a big part of my struggles. You know, I feel like I've got to pray more, or I got to pray harder, you know, pray longer and pray harder, and then God will pay attention to me, you know, and then God will, you know, answer my prayers, you know, then he'll come down from heaven. He'll, you know, give me the time of day. And it, I mean, that's just clearly the mind of the flesh from what we were talking about. So, I mean, it was a real eye opener for me, real, you know, encouragement saying, yes, this is what I struggle with. You know, this is what has been a major obstacle. So, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, I want to say that's a praise report, but pray for me. I would just begin to really understand, you know, what's the mind of the flesh, you know, and what's not. Cause I mean, dealing with it for so many years. I mean, I guess it's, you know, Willie was saying, God will make you, he'll put you through it till you're totally sick of it. And then you just do, you know, you're just like, you know, the flesh in the wilderness, you know, it give you so much flesh. It'll be, you know, be coming out of your nostrils. And then you say, okay, God, I'm ready to change. You know, I'm sick of the flesh. So I think that's kind of, I mean, I'm pretty much there. I wouldn't say I'm totally there. But yeah, it's like, I'm tired of operating in the mind of the flesh. I'm tired of thinking, you know, well, I'm worthless, you know, hey, you know, listen to the flesh say, well, you got to try a little bit harder, Joe. You got to read your Bible a little more. You got to pray more. You got to do this. You got to do that, you know, and all that stuff. But it's, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm pretty much at that point, but now I realize, okay, yeah, that's the flesh. That's the flesh speaking to me. And that's the flesh hindering me, you know, from even, you know, operating in the mind of the spirit. But from, you know, many things, you know, receiving from God or even hearing from God. So yeah, pray for me. I would just, you know, take this real, I mean, you know, serious. I mean, I'm not saying I'm so much not, but I just, you know, really begin to deal with it and, you know, recognize when the mind and the flesh is speaking and just not pay any attention anymore. Cause I think, you know, I started to notice it a little bit today, you know, and I realized, okay, yeah, you know, probably I thought that was okay. I used to be a demon, but no, I mean, that's the flesh, you know, and it's, I understand the thought processes, you know, and understand the way it comes against me. So yeah, I mean, I'd like some prayer in that area. Cause I mean, it's a pretty big revelation for me right now where I'm at, you know, just a major hindrance from moving forward. So yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Joe. And Lord, we thank you for that continuing work.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for giving him great and bold faith to believe that you are doing that work in him. It ain't nothing he can do. He can't pray more. He can't read his Bible more. But what he can do is have faith.
Yes.
And Lord, you can give him that faith that he needs. And it looks like you have. Looks like you're opening up his mind's eye to see the wisdom in that the work that you're doing in him, and that it is flesh a lot of times.
Yeah.
That's our biggest enemy. And Father, we thank you that you're through Joe killing that flesh.
Amen.
And Father, we praise you for it. Lord, we ask for more wisdom, more discernment for Joe in these matters. And we praise you for it, Father. In fact, Lord, I just ask that for all of us. Excuse me.
Yes.
That all of us would have more wisdom and discernment against the flesh, to know and to understand when the flesh is rising up and when the spirit is rising up, and to take the spirit side rather than the flesh side.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for it. Lord, you talk about fence setters, you know, people who are double-minded. And that's what it is. It's double-mindedness when we go with the flesh rather than the spirit.
Yeah.
And if we thank you, Lord, that you're just doing, you're fixing us all in that respect. You're teaching us how to put that flesh down and surrender our lives to you completely, Lord.
Amen.
And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for the mighty work you're doing in Job. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Let's see.
I was just going to tell Pat, I used to grind my teeth a lot too. It was mostly just stress. And then I started realizing I was doing it. Then I got a hold of it and stopped it, you know. And I really would notice it when, like, if I drive out to school, Oklahoma, and drive back. I used to like to drive straight home, and it was like a 16-hour drive, and I'd have my teeth would hurt for like 3 or 4 days after that. I didn't realize what was going on, but I was clenching my teeth the whole time. I didn't realize it. So, you know, stress, yeah. You can just cast off anxiety, you know, don't receive it and just realize it when it's happening. It's one of those things. He's like Joe's talking about the mind and the flesh. You have to recognize it, then you understand it. Until you can recognize it and start seeing it, then you're able to start separating yourself from that and the mind and the spirit. It's one of the processes we all have to go through when we see the mind of the flesh, understand the stress when it's trying to come on you. Like, oh, wait a minute, I don't receive it. You know, kind of just self-awareness, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Go ahead, Benny.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to pray for our grandson, Tyler. They moved from Illinois down to near Tampa Bay, Florida, and they just got down there last week and moved in. And he's going to be playing football. He's a pretty good football player. And but this will be his first time going to a public school. He's been going to a Christian school back there, and it's been, you know, they're somewhat protected from a lot of things. So this is going to be a whole new area for him. And he's a strong believer, and but I don't know that, you know, he's been around temptations like he may encounter now. I just want to pray for him. So Lord, we pray for Tyler right now. God, we ask you to be with him, Lord. Protect him. Keep your hand upon him. Give him revelation, Lord, day by day. Let him discern the evil, the wicked, and to walk away from it. Father, we just, I know his strength in you, but we just pray for that protection and that you would use him as a witness there to all these kids, the boys and the girls and the teachers in this public school. So we just, we trust that you're going to be your hand is going to be upon him for protection and safety. And for his sisters, too, will be going to the younger, the junior high school and grade school. We just, for Savea and Michaela, we just lift them up to you, God. Protect them there and use them there. And we just thank you, Father. Just just completely direct their life down there for getting in, hooked up to a good church father. Just pray that they would find truth, Father. We thank you, Lord. We trust in you. We look to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for protecting Tyler. Lord, we just ask and we pray that if you don't want him to play football or whatever, those things that you want him to, just tell him, show him. And we thank you for it. Lord, I lift up my grandson, Chase, too. He was a football player, got hurt last year, but he's wanting to go back out again this year, and I don't think he needs to. Father, I just ask that you shut the doors to football for him, that you put it in the coach's mind that he doesn't need to go back to playing football right now because his shoulder and his arm is still tender. And, Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I ask that you put it, you direct his sports back to baseball. It's not as dangerous as football. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Well, all right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? Anybody got a verse? Good verse? You want to share? Yeah, Pat.
A few weeks ago, Danny mentioned something about reckoning myself dead indeed unto sin. And for the last week or so, I've just kind of made it a point to, when I wake up in the morning, very first thing is just start thanking the Lord for various different promises. I've been delivered from the out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his son. I reckon myself dead indeed unto sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ. And I stopped on, I got up and continued on and read in Romans 8, where he says, there is no condemnation to those in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And that scripture kind of, I've always kind of anchored down on that. And every time I hit that, I stop and I just ponder it and think about it. And it's, you know, it's because there's that law. There's a law in effect there. And it's like, I look at it as like the law of gravity. It's always there. It's always functioning. There's not a lot you can do. Well, there isn't anything you can do to change it. But you can ignore it and be ignorant of it and not take advantage of the aspects of that law. And you can... you know, you can reap some serious consequences, especially if you were talking about the law of gravity. You can ignore that sometimes to your peril. So, and I have to think of, you know, like just dealing with this, you know, rejection and kind of that package that I was given as well or inherited. That whole rejection, acceptance by God scenario is always in the background there, always laying dormant, seems to be always functioning. And, but having been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into a new kingdom, this law is in effect. And it has nothing to do with with how I feel I am, my personal worth, or what my value is, or if I'm able to, like Joe says, pray enough, or be good enough, or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. It's a law. It's like the law of gravity. And the Lord gave me a picture, kind of a thought, of the power of law. It's like the picture was that, just to show the power that is involved in it, is that mankind has been bound, basically, to this planet for the last 6,000 years since creation. And it wasn't until in that whole 6,000 year span, it wasn't until a few hundred years ago that a Christian who was a mathematician, a scientist, was able to define, mathematically identify what that law was. And of course, that was Sir Isaac Newton. He put some mathematical description and identified what that law was mathematically. But that didn't change anything. Mankind was still bound to the planet by gravity. And it was a law. It can't be changed. And they say it's a physical law, but you can't see it. It's unseen. And it's unchangeable. It's a law. It's unchangeable and unseen. You can't go to the store and buy a pound of gravity. But 100 years ago or so, a couple inventor mechanics by the name of Orville and Wilbur Wright put a couple other laws together. And they created this machine that took advantage of those laws. And by utilizing those laws, they overcame the law of gravity. And that was about, I don't know if you can hear my dogs barking in the background, but they're agreeing with me. And in the span, picture the span of 6,000 years, in a little span of about 70 years, a man's lifetime, mankind not only overcame that law of gravity by incorporating another law, another few laws, but mankind completely went from the horse and buggy and put a man all the way onto the moon and brought him back. In the 60s, you know, late 60s. So in the span of really about 70 years, in that whole 6,000 year span, we were bound by a particular law. And in that 70 years, after finding out another law to overcome it, knowledge exploded. Technology exploded in the world. We have cell phones, telephones, and you know, electronics, computers. I'm actually sitting in Valley Forge talking to you people wherever you're at, Tennessee and Ohio and whatever. 30 years ago, even 30 years ago, we had never thought about that. We would have thought about it by watching it on TV. Maybe that it was happening on Star Trek or something like that. Well, we're doing it now. The power of just understanding that these laws in effect have great power if we take advantage of them. And as I was looking at there so I only say that to say that in 8:1, chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. And of course, every time you hear the word therefore, you have to go back before that and see what the therefore is there for. And I've always skipped over this chapter 7 because I like to get the good stuff in chapter 8, I guess. But I've been stuck on the first three verses there, and I think that my own personal struggles with resting in the promise of Romans 8 is probably connected with my understanding or getting God's perspective on this law concept in chapter 7. In verse 1, it said, are you ignorant, brethren? For I speak to men who know law. Paul was speaking to people that were aware of this concept of law, you know, and how it functions. That the law hath dominion over a man so long a time as he liveth. For, then he gives an example, for the woman that hath a husband is bound by law to the husband while he lives. But if the husband dies, she's discharged from the law of the husband, so that if while the husband liveth, she be joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if the husband die, she's free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be joined to another man. And I guess what the Lord is got me dwelling on is that the relationship of this man and woman, husband and wife, and everything involved in that relation, the intimate relationships involved in that, that in one example, when that husband was alive, and if she went with another man and was in the same type of relationship with all of the intimate details, etc., it would be sin. But if that first husband died, the very same actions and life and everything involved in that second relationship would not be sin. It would be correct, it would be right, acceptable with God. The actions, the physical actions, and many of the physical actions are exactly the same. What's changed? Only the law, that unspiritual, that invisible, unchanging law that is in effect. That's the only thing that differs between the two examples. And when we get up in the morning and start reckoning, I reckon myself dead indeed as to sin. As a matter of fact, what did I write this morning? This morning I reckon myself dead indeed to sin, but alive and God, unto God through Jesus Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, I'm not going to read that. Sorry. So as I start to dwell on that, and I have to exert my will to forcefully say, I'm going to believe the truth of what God says. I'm going to reckon myself dead indeed unto sin. Why? Because that's what happened. God crucified me somehow. When Jesus was on the cross, somehow Pat died in that process when I believed it. Now, it certainly doesn't make practical, it doesn't jive with my earthly world perspective, but that doesn't mean it's not true. It just means that somewhere in here, maybe all the synapses haven't fired and I haven't made the connections or whatever. But that's not my problem. It doesn't mean that that invisible, unchangeable law isn't in effect and hasn't happened. It just means that I have to, by my will, choose to focus on that, confirm that, and agree with that truth, and anything contrary to that, cast it down. And I think that's what the Lord has been teaching me, or, you know, I've been thinking about and dwelling about, praying about. And I think it, to me, it just has something to do with the with this dependence upon the fact that this is a law. When God said something, when he made that promise, or he said that truth, excuse me, it's though it go against everything that we comfortably have learned to comfortably rest in all of our life, if it's contrary to that, it's true. We have to trust in it, and we have to go where believing that truth takes us in our life. And I think the problem where I struggle is that I'm still struggling with that battle, and it seems like I know the scripture teaches that we have to we rest. We have to come to rest. Well, I haven't quite hit the rest part yet, but I guess this is more of a confession of the battle, or the place where I'm at right now. And when I was way back in the world, where I used to smoke years and years ago. And I mean, I was in my 20s. And I, one thing I noticed, and I don't know if you agree with it or not, but the Lord was working in my after I became a Christian and accepted Jesus. And after a time of thinking about it, I got to looking back into times in my life before I even knew God and realized that he was working with me in certain things then, and giving me understanding about certain things and protecting me in dangerous situations. I just recognized that in my past. But one of the examples that I believe he taught me then, that I obviously didn't even know him, that I used to smoke. And I was the type that when I smoked cigarettes, I went full bore. I was I didn't like work up to smoking a cigarette or two a day. If I was going to smoke, I decided to smoke. I was smoking a pack a day and whatever. And that, again, this, we're in a different society. This is back when you could smoke at work, right at your desk, and all that sort of thing. Well, and I would go through times when I decided to quit smoking, and so I decided, no, I'm not going to smoke anymore. I'm going to throw these, you know, I'm not going to buy any more cigarettes. Well, I got to see and experience the agonizing dependency upon upon those cigarettes and upon that that craving and that everything that come with it when you're trying to quit. And so I would try to quit, and I'd maybe make it a day, and the desires and the cravings would get so bad that I'd finally go down to the machine. And just to give you an idea, I you could buy cigarettes at that time out of a machine for 35 cents or something like that. I think they're like, what, $8 a pack now or something ridiculous. But anyway, and I struggled with that for a week, maybe a month, you know, and there would be so much guilt there that I'd try to quit and I couldn't do it. And I'd think, oh man, you can't even quit smoking. What's wrong with you? You this and that. Well, one day I was walking, I had to go up to the second floor of the building that I was working in. And I decided to take the stairs and start going up the stairs. And by the time I got to that second floor, I was huffing and puffing. And I thought, man alive, I'm out of breath. And again, I was like, what, 26 or 27 years old, just a young kid. And at that time, it hit me, you know what? Those cigarettes are taking your breath away from you. And it hit me, and I thought, those things are killing me. And do you know what? I went back to my desk, and I threw those cigarettes in the trash, and I did not have one craving, not one craving after that. And it's like I quit. It didn't bother me. People could smoke around me, whatever. It didn't bother me, because I was functioning on a different perspective now. I was functioning on a different truth. And the truth was, these things are killing me. And I don't care. But the interesting thing that I learned from it was it took away all power of that desire. Now, not being a Christian, I thought, hey, this is great, because I can quit smoking anytime I want. So when I decided, you know, a year later, when I was feeling great, I thought, you know what, I'll start smoking again. And so I would start smoking, and boom, the next day I was into a pack a day, and I would go through the same cycle. I went through that same cycle two or three times over the period of 3 or 4 years, because I was so intrigued with the fact that the only problem is you can, I short-circuited that process, because after a while it's like, now you're deceiving yourself. You have to have a higher truth to get out of this type of dependency or whatever. So, I mean, so at one point I just gave up smoking, and actually it was after I became a Christian and gave my life to the Lord that I quit. But the interesting thing was that I locked on to this truth, that if you're resting in a higher truth, it removes all of the attraction of that struggle that you're in. Now, whether or not that has anything to do with what I referred to in Romans 8 and Romans 7, etc., all I know is that the rest that I, shall we say, entered into in overcoming cigarettes through that higher truth is kind of the rest that I believe God has in reference to these scriptures. In other words, I believe that when we are resting in the truths that He has given us, that we are dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, that the power of that flesh and that carnal perspective has to be neutralized. It has to be. It can't function at the same time, life and death. So I guess I'm just throwing all this out, because that's kind of where I am at right now in this whole process. So I would like any kind of input anybody has. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's a good analogy. I'm smoking. I remember when I quit smoking, I was a sheer pagan. But what I did, what made me quit smoking, which, you know, that's a little bit something of what we're talking about here, is I saw my dad waste away with cancer. Do I really want to do this? You know, that's what I asked was, do I really want to do this? And I quit like you did back when I was young. Well, it's been 35 years ago, I guess, when I quit. But when you're talking about the flesh to me is number one enemy. And I'm talking from my perspective. It's been the number one enemy. And to rest and to surrender to the Lord is easy to say. It's the perspective and that walk that God wants us to walk with Him. Is that we can do it. I'm trying to put this in a way that we have a choice. I'll tell you what, I came across something today that may explain it pretty good. You know, when you get your eyes examined, that the doctor holds a card in front of you and he says, keep your eyes right here, you know, looking right straight ahead. But tell me when you see your other hand coming up to the peripheral vision, okay? You know, you've ever had that, probably all of you have. And he brings that hand from behind your head, and pretty soon, out the corner of your eyes, you see his hand. You're still looking straight ahead, but you can see his hand over here, to the side. That's the God, is a capacity that God has given our physical eyes and also that spiritual vision that He's given us too. We can be looking at Christ and at the same time, out the corner of our eyes, there's something else trying to catch your attention. Is that not right? Always. Now it's up to us that we can focus our full attention on Christ and disregard that disturbance on the side, or we can shift our attention to the side, or we can do like most of us do, is just hesitate somewhere in between, looking back and forth, back and forth, and not being able to decide this one or this one. And if you're in that last category, you're what James describes as a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Ain't nobody any more miserable than a double-minded or double-hearted, how you want to put it, human being. Because sometimes you're convinced you believe God, and then the next day you're not sure. And that's kind of the way I see it, you know, the walk that God's got us on. Are we getting our eyes off the Lord? We're not straight ahead? And we can see it out here. And that's okay to see it. We understand it's there. But if we keep our eyes focused on the Lord, we're not going to be double-minded. But it's when we get to looking over here and back and here and back that we get double-minded. I hope that kind of simplifies the flesh and the spiritual aspect of our walk with the Lord. Yeah, Willie.
All right. You know me, I'm always going to speak from personal experience.
Okay.
I think if I say anything else, it's just going to be too much, you know, a Willie involved in it.
That'd be fine. Go ahead, brother.
I'm pretty sure we've always had, we all had that, you know, personal experience where, you know, God's just been there and you're like, oh, the Lord's here. And you're just like, oh, you're walking in it for weeks or months or, and then you get that lift in like, oh, what happened? I thought this was supposed to be all the time, you know? What the Lord showed me about it was it can be like that all the time, but I'm going to deal with your mind. You know, I'm going to deal with your soul now. I showed you I'm a reality. You know, now you have to accept me with your will, you know. So he starts, you know, going in there and start cleaning up the dirty areas. Here's something dirty, and you're like, how did I fall back into this? You know, but what God really wants you to do is just confess it, you know, and clear out that dirty area and keep going. Keep it stepping, you know. And he wants to get your will to a point where it's not just, you know, oh, God's everywhere, oh. It's you working together in conjunction, having one mind. He needs to get you to have one mind with him. And it takes personal experiences. You think God went somewhere, but he didn't. You know, now he's going to take you through some personal experiences that are going to open up things and make things naked, you know, before you, even as he sees them. And then he says, confess your faults one to another. You know, you would think, well, that means me and the saints. But no, you can, who are you always walking with when the saints aren't there? Christ. You know, so confess your fault, you know, to him. Lord, okay, you know, I got nasty eyes. I like to look around at stuff and take pleasure in it, you know. And so you begin to tell the Lord about that, and then you thank him for his deliverance. You know, he starts working on, at least with me, you know, Christ was in agreement with the Father all the time. They were one mind, you know. That's where he wants to get you at, you know, that one mind walk. So you're not looking back and forth. You're not double-minded. You know, you're not confused. All of that comes in, you know, when you refuse with your will to let something go. Your will doesn't have to be super mighty, extraordinarily strong. You just have to will to confess it, you know. That's why it says willful disobedience is, you know, there's no sacrifice. But if you do it the opposite way, willful repentance, you know, there's deliverance. But if you're hiding something, that's not really repentance. You know, you're just hiding it so you can do it tomorrow. You know, and that's what the Lord's been doing with my life. You know, he's been taking me into those areas to where I was like, you know, what happened, Lord? You know, what happened to that experience you gave me when you visited me? You know, all I can think about was Jesus. What happened? You know, sin that was in my members, you know, that's what happened, you know. And so the Lord, you know, started dealing with, and I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't have the knowledge of knowing what he was doing. You know, I thought I was just back on that, you know, oh no, back and going back into the sin. Oh no. What the Lord was doing was he wanted me, you know, you really got to repent with your will. Your will and repentance is important. Just like, willful disobedience, you know, is with your will, you know. You might feel weak, you know, you're not going to feel super strong when you do it, and you'll try to find a way to, you know, say it in a nice way because you feel ashamed, but you just need to say it as it is, you know. Don't allow it to hide, you know. And since I've been doing that, you know, and the Lord says, you know, after I do that, he told me to thank him, you know, to give him the glory, and to bless him every single time, and to confess that it has been taken and to confess that, you know, it is already gone. That's how he's been having me do it. And I've been having a lot of deliverance, you know, a lot of deliverance in that reality of Christ being a reality in my life, and not trying to imagine what it's like to walk with Jesus. Because we get into that state too. You know, we want, you know, Christ there in our lives. We want him to be a strong reality, you know, but it's only in our imagination. You know, so we keep trying to serve as hard as we can, you know, after the mind of the flesh. A lot of it starts off with the mind of the flesh. But now, you know, Christ has become a stronger, you know, more starch, direct reality, to where now I can, you know, confess something to the Lord, you know, repent from something and say, Father, you know, I just thank you for delivering me from it. And I thank you that I am delivered from it, Heavenly Father, and I glorify you and I give you thanks and I bless your holy name, God. And it'd be a prayer just as simple as that. Or if it's toward a person, you know, I'll say the same thing, but I'll bless the person after that. You know, or if I look to someone and sin rose up in my heart, and I'll say, Lord, I just thank you for revealing this, you know, this thing in me, you know. And, you know, he wants to further your experience in Christ by being one with him, you know, in your will, you know, and with your mind, however you want to say it, the soul. I'm not good at articulating things all very good all the time, but that's just my experience with having that really glorifying experience and then feeling like you don't have it anymore. Because he really does need to deal with sin, that works sin in your members, and repenting the will. But that's all I got to say. That's what he's been doing with me. All right, I'm done.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. I'll get back with you, Pat.
I like the way Pat mentioned a comparison between the law of gravity and the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I made a couple of notes here on that spiritual law. And it's an unchanging law. Just the same way as it's his word is unchanging. And it just so happens that before, you know, I'm starting another little bit of a study here about the Word of God, and I titled it The Majestic Word, The Awesome Word. And I started putting some things down, some verses, and one of them that came up was Luke 1:37, because no word from God shall be void of power. And this power... Is God himself with his word. And so if it's an unchangeable law and an unchangeable word, and it's a spiritual law that's given to us, it's our gift that's given to us, you know, we struggle with it, but you know, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know, and it just shows the majesticness of God's word, how it's so stable. I'm trying to find a word for it. I'm trying to find something to describe it, you know. And, you know, immediately all the other spiritual laws came to mind. Well, I don't know if I got all of them, but the law of liberty, you know, the law of faith. You know, and that one, I want to look that one up again. It's, I think it's in Romans 8 also. And the royal law, you know, and it's just, you know, the law I looked it up in Romans 7 and 12, you know, is holy. Paul describes it as holy. And Jesus said, ye shall be holy as I am holy. And so there's a spiritual concept here too, where this is a Holy Spirit that comes to help you do the life of Christ too. And he went and then he talked about the rest, and then something clicked in there with me, and I wish I could have been able to write it down at that point in time, but all I remembered was about the when you take your yoke upon him, when take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls. But there was something else there. I wish I could remember what it was. Anyways, praise to God. Praise to God. All glory to God. And thank you, Lord, for your mercy and truth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, we got all them laws, natural and spiritual. Tim, do you have something you was going to say?
Well, not really. There are a couple of things that came that I was thinking on, though. First, we're talking about the periphery. You know, you were mentioning that stuff creeps into your vision, and remember a lot of David's old teachings. He would talk about the blinders on the horse, keep it focused, going straight ahead, and was correlating that to, you know, turning neither to the right hand nor the left hand, but continuing down the straight and narrow. And the mind of the flesh, you know, has, you know, is really subject to distraction, and it's real easy to get turned to the left or to the right. But keeping our eyes focused, you know, all, as if we had blinders on, or maybe even putting spiritual blinders on to keep us focused straight ahead, to alleviate those distractions. Or if we do see them, to remind us to turn straight ahead and keep going forward towards the prize. That was what I was thinking of. I was mainly just adjusting my volume there at different speakers, but that's where I was at.
Okay. Well, you got an extra set of them blinders. I need my sets wearing out. I need a set of them blinders, you know.
I don't know about you, but my peripheral vision got better here on this broadcast. I could see a lot better. Oh, I'm seeing myself, that's why.
Okay.
Hey, you know what I was going through today, and I probably spent almost 2 hours easy going through this. It just drew me in was 1 Peter chapter 1. That chapter is great. It basically starts at 3, and it covers, you know, I was looking at the gospel, getting the gospel out of this. And I had to go through many different versions to get this, because if you just stay with the ASV, you might not pick up all the little subtleties that are there, because sometimes that language is a little on the archaic side, so it's good, it narrows in on things, but sometimes it's hard to understand what it's saying. So, would you be okay if I read some of that today? Everybody up for that, or no? You got something else?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I'll start out with the ASV, but I'm going to switch here on you, because I'm going to tell you real quick, hey, we're going to ESV to see what that says. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begot us again." Well, we're all thinking, what's mercy? We know what begot us again is, mean born again. Well, let's see what another version says. Let's go to the ESV. Well, you know, I'm going to go to the Net Bible. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his great mercy has given us new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So we're looking at what we got. We get this, and as everybody says, oh, I know this, but well, let's look it over. Giving us this new birth What is a new birth? You know, if I go down there, boy, we got to get a new birth. I got to look this stuff up. I got to find out what this is talking about. You know, because I'm curious, you know, born again. So I look up in the Greek, we got us again, born again. You know, I want to find out, what's he talking about? To beget. You know, one of the first things that gets me in mind when I read that is how the Muslims are quick to tell you, God doesn't beget, nor is he begotten. They'll tell you that. That's their God. And I remember telling them once, a woman I was talking to on that, reason why your God can't beget is not begotten, because angels don't give birth. I says, he's a fallen angel. He can't do that. That's why your God's limited. Our God's not limited.
I bet you endeared yourself to her, didn't you?
Well, you know why? It's trying to turn the light on. They like, you know, why is your God so limited? Why can't he do that? My God can. But we understand, what is this new birth he's talking about? Right? In a lot of ways, it resembles Jesus. Because if I go down farther in descriptions of the Greek language, I get to this Greek 1080 in or G1080, which is from Strong's. It says to procreate, to bring forth, to conceive, to be delivered, to make. You know, God's doing this in us with his new birth. He's bringing something in us new. He's conceiving this thing. And if you go back to Proverbs chapter 8 and start seeing where Jesus is coming into creation, it talks about him being brought forth from the Father. This is what he's doing with us. He's conceiving us. He's bringing us forth. He's bearing us. He's making us new with this spirit of life, Christ Jesus. So we got this new thing happening. This is a great thing. All right? This is a good thing. Find out what this salvation is all about, what this gospel means. Because you know what? You might have to tell this to somebody someday. They might say, what do you mean born again? I understand that. Well, do you believe Jesus? Do you want him to be your Savior? I mean, do you want to receive him as your Lord so he can save you? I mean, because he's going to deliver you from things in life. He's going to help you walk in a newness of life. Do you want that life in you? Well, yeah. Well, we receive Jesus and we go forward from that. Now you're going to be a disciple. But this is what we can expect from this new spirit we're getting from our Father. He's going to give us this new birth, this conceived this thing inside of us, which is Jesus Christ, this spirit of Christ. And then he's going to give us this living hope it talks about in Peter 1:3. A living hope by the coming again of Jesus Christ from the Lord. Or we see Jesus was resurrected from the dead. With that resurrection, he gave us this new life. This is kind of cool. It's nice to go back over the gospel, understand what it did for you. All right, let's go on to 1:4 here. What do we want to read here on that? We'll go with the ASV. I mean, take your time through these scriptures. Understand what they're saying. All right, it says, to an inheritance that's imperishable. What do you mean by imperishable? What's an inheritance? You inherited something with the birth of when Jesus was resurrected from the dead and you got this new birth. You got this inheritance now. What does it mean to inherit something? Well, it's something you didn't have before, right? We know that, but we're not really sure what all the inheritance includes, but it includes a lot. I mean, whatever Jesus has was what we're going to get. It's a pretty big inheritance. It's pretty limitless. It's up to us to go through the scriptures now, find out what all Jesus had, and he's given us these promises. That's our inheritance through this resurrection life, this new hope we got through Christ. It says it's imperishable and undefiled. Imperishable. It doesn't go away. You're never going to lose it. It can't get old. It can't be lost. And, you know, this whole world can blow up, but we never lose that. You know, we're never going to lose this. This is something we're holding on to, right? It's undefiled. It's unfading. It goes with the whole idea. It's never going to go away. It's never going to lose its shine. kind of cool. Kep in heaven for you. Well, we know it's wow. It's reserved there. It's not going to go away. So we're supposed to keep our minds on Christ, right? Who by God's power are guarded, I'm only five now, are guarded through faith. Wait a minute. God's power, we're being guarded by God's power through this faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We're being guarded by God now by faith. We're not going to lose this. We've got protection of God on this salvation. That's all great to salvation is. Not only is it something we grab hold of and believe for, now we're being guarded by God to hold on to this. All right? That's a pretty strong thing God's doing on our behalf. And it's going to be revealed in the last time. All this is going to be more and more of revelation the closer we get to the end. In this you rejoice. So now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Well, I've seen some trials here on this UBM since I've been here. A lot of trials. I've seen what people are going through. The struggles they're still having. You know, I've had some. Michael went through a great one recently. I see Joel struggling. I see Pat going through it. You know, we're all still trying to go through these struggles and these trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith. So what's going on? This is all about, it's not just a trial. It's something, well, it says tested here in the NET Bible. It's, what does it say somewhere else? Here in the Amplified Bible, it says, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is in infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. Well, this is the fire we get to go through. You know, it's just going to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. You know, endure it. Endure it. It's only going to bring back out the gold. All right, so what we're going through is just to bring out the gold. Now, put that in mind. That's what we're doing. Go ahead, Willie.
No, I just wanted to add, you said try by fire. And a thought just came into my mind. God will try his own word by fire to show you that it has power. You know, that nothing overcomes his word. You know, so the trial by fire comes because God is trying also his word by fire to show you that, you know, his word can never fail. I just want to make that comment.
Absolutely, you're right. That's true. I mean, that's another angle to see it from. I mean, not only is it to burn up our wood, hay, stubble, but also to prove that his word is true. And we hold on to it. And it's not going to go away. That's very true. That's not what's going to be burned up, is it? All his promises. We didn't lose that. It says it was imperishable a sentence or two back. And it's never going to be fading. So we know that this fire is not going to have an effect on that at all. As a matter of fact, part of it, what we're exposing is the Word of God in us. That's the goal. You know, that's what we want to get inside. That's not going to be perishable, right? That goal that's going to save us through these times. Let's see. I do like the ASV sometimes. I really do. It says, a proof of your faith in ASV, be more precious than gold that perishes, though it be proved by fire, may be found to the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's talking about your faith now that's going to be shown to shine through this also. Whom having, not having seen, you love. Who are we talking about? Jesus. On whom, though now you see him not. I mean, we physically do not see Jesus, although we know him. Isn't it interesting? We can know Christ in our hearts, but we've never seen him. Yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable, and we're full of this glory. And we share this glory when we come together. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Well, that's pretty cool. That's what the ultimate goal is going to be through all this. Well, I think ultimately we're going to get a new body with our soul. But it says the unspeakable, where did I just use that? The salvation of your souls in verse 9. Concerning the salvation which the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. You know, if I go through a couple of the versions, it talks about these guys, you know, they really wanted to experience this salvation. I mean, they were desirous for this. They were reading it and thinking, wow, this sounds really great. I want that. I want to experience that. But he goes on to say, searching what time and what manner the time of Christ, which was unto them, did point to when it testified beforehand and the suffering of Christ and the glories that should follow them. So they're seeing this being laid out ahead of the game. But it says, to whom it was revealed. Then God was letting them know that not unto themselves. Yeah. But, you know, I can't help but wonder. I bet they really felt disappointed when they found that out. And they knew that. Like, this is something I know is coming. I really want to be part of this, but this is not being revealed for me. It's for somebody up the road. It's for other people that are coming into the kingdom. But I really want to see this. I want to be part of this. Just like Moses, he wanted to enter the promised land, right? But unto you, did they minister these things, which now have been announced unto you through them that preached the gospel. They preached the gospel back then to us, unto you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, that's the first time I thought about angels desiring something. They had desire. These angels have desire. We often think about them just being ministering servants. But it gives us a little more fuller aspect about, you know, these guys are, you know, they kind of like this whole thing they're seeing too with God's wondrous work and what he's doing in people's lives and this whole creation thing. It's got them just as captivated as we are. And they just think, wow, this is so cool. I mean, they have a lot of knowledge, but they also have this passion too inside of them, I think, to do the will of God and see it work out. So they look into this thing. I think it also is they want to get involved with this as much as they can too, because they like what they see. They love this, you know. But as much as they're allowed to come into this, that's what they're going to do. Then we get in to be called to be holy. And it's not that hard. Not if you're walking with Jesus, depending upon him. I'm sure he's cleaning us up. We get those ugly things in our lives that we have to discard and we hate, you know, with a passion as much as the Lord does. When we see it, we think it's ugly too, but God's on our side. You know, he's on our side. He's going to help us. I mean, this is all what he's telling us. Work for gird up your loins of your mind. Oh, what the heck is mean? Gird up your loins. If I go down to another version, you know, just to get a little better idea what he's talking about. So brace up your minds. You know, it's like, all right, now stand on something here. Be sober. It says sober-minded up there in the, and I think the ASV, it says sober-minded or sober. Let's see. Be sober-minded. And that's a pretty popular word, actually. I found that in a couple other chapters of different New Testament scriptures. Sober-minded is kind of an important word for us, because he tells us to be sober-minded more than once. We're being sober-minded right here. We're taking our time to understand what people are saying. We're not rushing out and being hypercritical or judgmental in any way. We're being reserved. It's being prudent. And we're also, at the same time, trying to get the right perspective of where we need to be on these things. That's being sober-minded, you know, being watchful, you know, is being reserved and doing things properly. Being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace which is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what? Keeps on coming back to the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what he did at the cross. We have to set our mind on that. Hopefully, this is a grace that God gave us, this big grace. It all starts there. He keeps on pointing us back to the cross, what Jesus did. You know? As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. And we've talked about those. We've had those issues. We all have. But as it were, you were called to be holy. And we know what holy is, right? That's set apart for God's work. That's being undefiled, sanctified. You know, you're being, it's like being used in the temple by God, you know. But as he called you to be holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That's a pretty high, tall order, isn't it? Sounds like it. Doesn't it sound like it's pretty hard? But, you know, again, we have to keep on putting our mind back to the cross, saying this was the grace that God gave us. And believe for those things. That's that living hope we're called to believe for. And it's unfading. It doesn't go away. It's not going to diminish. That's part of this, is holiness. We're going to get all those things. And it's going to bring a salvation eventually to our souls. You know, so we're just having this living hope. So this hope is, you know, setting apart ourselves and our conduct. So since it is written, you should be holy, for I am holy. And God said that more than once in the scriptures. And if you call on him as Father, who we all do, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, well, that's why we want to be holy in our conduct, because our deeds do come up. Conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. So he's saying, you know what? This fear of God is an important thing to have in our life. This fear of the knowledge, not only is the gospel given to help us become what we're not and become this holy, righteous person, that we're just keeping our eyes on this, the gospel, and our eyes on the cross, eyes on what Jesus did and his power. It also puts back that if we forsake this and we lose that fear and we start falling back into the world, that, you know, that conduct, I think God will hold you accountable to, not because he wants to punish, condemn you, but he wants you to change. And he's not going to let you get away with it. When you get this far into the game, he's going to allow you to experience his holiness, and he wants you to walk in that. He'll let you stumble, but if you should turn your back on this now, it's not going to go well. All right, so have that fear of God. That's what he's trying to convince you of. Fear this walk. Do not take this lightly. Be sober-minded. Knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Again, that gets to strange language. It's find a better verse. I don't really like that. All right, let's go back. I'm going to go to the Net Bible real quick, see what it says. You know that from your empty ways of life inherited from your ancestors, you were ransomed. That's even strange. Let's go something better than that. Call to be holy. This is going to be the Bible basic version. It's about getting as low as we can go. But through holy blood, like that of a clean and unmarked lamb, even the blood of Christ, says, that doesn't go well. Being conscious that you have been made free from the foolish way of life, which was your heritage from your fathers. And we learned that because Pat shared that with us in the Romans about the law of Christ, life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. There's a law there that not only it confirms that we've been made free from this stuff. We have to hold on to this by faith. All right. We've been made free from the foolish way of life, which was your heritage. Once we renounced it and repented, we realized we have this power in Christ to walk away from it, okay? We really do. Not through a payment of things like silver and gold, which came to destruction, but through the holy blood of Christ, it's saying, like that of a clean, unmarked lamb, even the blood of Christ, who was marked out by God before making the world, but was caused to be seen in these last times for you. Okay, well, we've got this, again, from the time from the prophets wanted to see this happen, and they desired this, and they knew they weren't going to see it in their life, but we do. We see this promise. We see it fulfilled. We have to go by faith. We hold on to it. God's going to guard us through this. All right, we're not going to lose it. It's imperishable. Let's hold on to this gospel we got. Let's go back to a different version then. Peter 1:20. This is ESV. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of an imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news for the gospel that was preached to you. Let's praise it, God, that we've got this great gospel, this good news. This is something for us and for all that listen to this and take it to their heart. Let's praise God that we've got this wonderful fellowship, or we sense this sincere love for each other. And we do. Thank you, Father, for the sincere love you give us, because this love we have covers a multitude of our sins. That's what your word says. And this love we have keeps us in the light, keeps us out of the darkness. Thank you, Father. Bring us into the light and let us have this fellowship. Let us have your word. Let us know the glory and the great news we have, this gospel that we need to hear about all the time, because it points back to you, Lord. It points back to what you did to us, for us at the cross, and it enabled us to be like you, to come into this newness of life, this born again, new life that not only sets us free in our soul, but helps us walk in newness so we can eventually get that new body too. Thank you, Father, for all these great things you're doing for us. And let not this anything come between us, Lord. Nothing that's going to shake your foundation, what you're doing with this church today, Father. We bind the name of Jesus. Anything that might become between us now, it's not going to overcome the kingdom of God. It's not going to overcome this word. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. I put one up there, Luke 11:34. The lamp of thy body is thine eye. When thine eye is single, when you got your eyes on the Lord, thy whole body also is full of light. But when it's evil, thy body also is full of darkness. When you get over here looking at the periphery, okay, keep your eyes straight. Just thought I'd throw that little verse there in there. All right. Anybody? Yeah, Pat. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, that was good. Thank you, Dave. As you were,
wasn't me. It was just the Lord in the Scripture. I just went through it.
Amen. This morning, I, and as you were reading that, even up when we started at the very beginning up there where it says, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And I know that there's a kind of a general tendency that when we think of heaven, we think of that place far way up there, you know, in the sky, such and such. But David mentioned something, referring to heaven in one of his messages, referring to heaven as that, it's kind of that, it's right here in our existence, in our presence right now. It's kind of like that twilight zone thing, that it's here all around us, we just don't see it. It's like Michael talking about that peripheral vision that's behind us, and then all of a sudden we get a little glimpse out of it, out of the side. You can kind of sense it. It's in between that sensing and experiencing. But the thing that hits me is I think of that scripture where, I think it's in Corinthians, when Paul is talking about bitterness and whatever, and he said, and anger, and said, don't give place to the devil, but, you know, don't let anger go down on your, you know, on your soul, or the sun go down on your anger, or whatever. Because if you do, you give place to the devil. And that word place in the Greek, it, I think, is like the word topos, or topographical, means top, it means terrain. It's a geological or whatever it is, geology type of term. It means terrain. It's a place. It's so the devil is a spirit. And if we're giving him place, it must be some sort of a spiritual place. It's something, it's a place nonetheless, but it's connected to a spiritual. What's spiritual? Well, thinking, a thought is spirit. You can't fill up a glass of thought. You can't go down and buy a thought. It's a spiritual entity. It's a place. And when I was thinking about this inheritance incorruptible, where is that? That is a place, but it's a spiritual place. It's a place where if we, like Michael saying that lamp of the body is that eye, keep that eye single and focused up on this. What is it in Colossians? I don't know if it's Colossians, where he says, set your affections on the things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And I think the Lord is teaching us to start to focus, single focus, dwell on that place that exists right here, right in front of us. We can touch it. It's right here in Christ. And it is a place that can't be shaken by all the struggles and, strife of this world, the struggles, the fiery trials that we are enduring, just to burn away our dependence upon our thinking and dependence upon the carnal perspective, that carnal world around us, and help us to set our affections upon the world that is not passing away. And the thing that hit me this morning, I just wrote it down and said, Lord, opened up my eyes, that when he opened up our eyes to salvation and the forgiveness of our sins, it required only that we believe, and this is that born again experience. It only required us to, in some form or another, it was a passive experience of believing that truth about Christ. God has forgiven us our sin because Christ, he has placed Christ on the cross as a purchase for our sin. And that is God's process for us to receive that forgiveness. It was it's a passive, simple belief, believing. I think it's so incredible that God made it so simple, so easy, that anyone in any place, anywhere in the world, no matter if you're rich, poor, strong, weak, crippled, you can be in any condition, but you still have the ability to believe or not believe. And God made it that very simple in order to enter into his kingdom. But then he commands us to keep it. And that keeping it, I believe, is what that's where we start now to experience the resistance and the devil wanting to take it away from us. And now we have to exert a little bit of willpower. We have to stand up and say, no, you're not taking it. Or even more subtly, he comes in with condemnation or whatever, and we give it up. So, and this is, again, this is where, and I think the thing that hit me today is that we are in a world right now where the majority of Christianity believes in that first part. They received Christ, that passive receiving of Christ, accepting God for his forgiveness, but haven't made it over into that next phase, shall we say, of discipleship. The first part requires no participation other than believing. The second part requires our participation of our will and growing in that truth that God has given us to overcome and to shun that world, that earthly life that's fading away, and enter into that fullness of the heavenly life around us. So that's, I guess that's kind of what I was getting out of what you were saying, Dave. I appreciate it.
Hey, Pat, do you mind closing us out with prayer?
Sure. Father, thank you for the truth that you've given us, the wisdom. Thank you for your life that you've given us, the resurrection power that we can set our affections upon you. Thank you for the fullness of your life, Lord, within us. Thank you for this group, Lord, who have seen the need to come apart from the world, the conditions that are happening in the world, and from the organized religion of our time, and are seeking one thing, just to be with you, dwelling in your light, in your salvation, in your truth. And Lord, we just ask you to give us grace to share, to open up, to set our light on the light stand so that all can see, that come in close contact with us. Lord, I just trust you for that grace in all of our lives. Trust you for that grace to pour out, give us strength to walk in your word, walk in the overcoming life that you have given us. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority. You've separated us from this world by believing in you. And now you are raising up your life in us provide that salvation to those that we meet. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Just bless us as we continue on, and give us grace to come together next week and enter into the truth, the presence of your presence in our midst. And Lord, we bless you. We thank you. Thank you for the troubles that we have. We know that they are the fire that's burning away this dross in our life. And we just praise you for it. We thank you for the rest. Thank you for the peace, and thank you for the rest in your word that we can relax in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all. All right, everybody. Good night.